And thank you again to Kalaheo Chiropractic and Qingyang Village, as well as listeners just like you who at our last pledge drive called in with your support at any level. Man, that just rocks. So thanks not only to people here on Kauai on the North Shore or the East Side or the West Side or the South Side or maybe over on Oahu or anywhere in the islands you may be or in Japan or France or Michigan. It takes a community to make the community radio station thrive. So thank you so much for what you do. My name is Jonathan Jay. I'll be your host for the next hour and a half or so. Got Out of the Box coming up in a moment. A lot of things going on in the world, and I'm going to try and get to as many of them as we can. Hope you're doing well. Let's see. What are we going to cover today? The moon is a waning crescent, 32% illuminated. It's Kaloa Pau. It set about 2 hours ago in this part of the world, and it's going to rise around 3:30 in the morning. Could be in the sky over you, depending on where you are. I'm going to talk a little bit about Cuba. Cuba's going to be receiving some amazing visitors in the next week or so. President Obama, the Hokulea Polynesian Voyaging Canoe, and the Rolling Stones all set to visit Cuba as the Cuba continues to normalize its relationship with the rest of the world. Also, a little bit about the KIUC elections. Adam Asquith will be in at 5 to talk about Kalia Farms and the farmer market there. And then, of course, at 5:30, you know what's cooking. It's What's for Dinner with Nihi Joe. And that's a show where we don't talk about Hadron, high energy atomic particle accelerators or colliders. And we don't talk about the war in Syria or the U.S. Illegal military occupations around the world. We just talk about what is for dinner. What you got cooking? What are you having tonight? As we get towards the 6 o'clock hour, it's Pauhana in this part of the world. And, you know, folks are heading home and getting ready to do dinner. Speaking of Pauhana, I want to also start doing this on a more regular basis. And that is the Surf Report. Because maybe you're just getting off work right now and you want to know where the high surf is or where the, you know, no kind surf is if you just want to go out there with your keiki. So, we got as of 9 this morning, big surf on the North Shore. So if you're from Nebraska and you've never seen, walls of water that move, stay out of the water and also stay way farther back from the shoreline than you could even imagine is prudent, because waves, they don't care how small you are. They just come in and suck you out and take you out to China. No good. So waves on the North Shore are, as of this morning, were 15 to 25 feet in Haena, 12 to 18 feet in Hanalei, 1 to 4 feet in Kealia, 1 to 3 feet in Lydgate, 1 to 3 feet in Poipu, 1 to 2 feet all the way down in Hanapeipei and the salt ponds, and out in Kekaha, 6 to 12 feet. So the north and west faces of the island are getting some pretty big surf. We got double, triple, and quadruple overhead. So if you don't know what that means, it means stay out of the water. You know, get some binoculars, getting yourself nice and comfortable, way, way back from the shoreline, and just watch. It's pretty amazing. So here we are, out of the box, a lot of stuff going on in the world. I'm going to open up the phone lines to you right away right now, 808-826-7771. Let's see, got the Republican presidential primaries in America. Also in America, the Democrats are doing their presidential primaries. And if you've been following that in the news, maybe you might have some comments. We're going to have a couple people call in, I hope, about that. And I was flipping through the paper here today. Some good sound effects. Let's see. Speaking of elections, Gary Hoosier is seeking re-election for the county council. What else was going on? Let's see. Oh, yeah, I told you about the Rolling Stones. Super Tuesday, or Stupor Tuesday, as some people like to call it. You know, politics in America, I'll just editorialize for a minute because the phone lines are still open at 826-7771. America is an amazing country, exceptional, actually, some people like to say. I was born there, so I have a certain fondness for that. And you know what? I'll just get to the phones right here. And we'll get back to what I was saying, because I got plenty of time for talk. Let's see. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Aloha. My name is Alan. Hey.
Go ahead, Alan. What's on your heart or your mind?
Well, you know, you were talking about politics, and I just had to talk about Donald. Go Donald.
I'm inferring that you like Donald. What do you like? What do you like about the? What do you like about the Donald?
I'm for somebody else. I'm for Bernie.
Oh, so
feeling the burn.
So you're making a joke, or I'm confused?
I just don't think it's an interesting presidential campaign.
It sure is.
Interesting race, and I'm kidding about Go Donald. I don't have enough bad things to say about the man, but like my mom said, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. So,
well, is there anything nice you could say about the Donald? Anything?
I'm hoping this will help him. I'm hoping this will help him. I hope this will make him a better person. I hope that he will see. I hope that he will see how the Democratic side of the convention is going. You know, I mean, the primaries and how Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton treat each other. You know, in a civil way and are not trying to destroy each other and call each other names and say bad jokes about their hair and whatnot. I mean, it seems so trivial and contrite.
So you're saying that a good thing that I just heard you say about the Donald is that he has the potential to learn.
He has potential to learn. Yes, he does. I think
he hasn't shown a lot of evidence of that yet, but hey, I'm still holding out.
Occasionally I'll hear something in a speech that he will say, a concession speech or something like that, where he will praise somebody. I mean, he has said some nice things about Ted Cruz and about some of the other people in the campaign. But followed by, you know, yeah.
I can't support any of that.
I hope it gets better.
Yeah, I can't support any of the nice things that he said about those people, but I still am holding out hope.
That's all we can do is hold out hope. But it's a beautiful day on the Garden Island, and thanks for the surf report. We're just about getting ready to get off work here, my friend Evan and I, and I think I'm going to get in the water. So.
Hey, that's awesome. You know what I love about getting in the water? Whatever your problems are, whatever your frustrations are, man, the ocean, it just dissolves. It just takes it all away. It's so, it's so grounding to get in the water.
Grounding to get in the water. I agree. Yes, it is.
Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Watering, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's a new term right there.
There you go, man.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. Have a great day. Thanks.
You too. And we got another caller standing by real quick. And I'm going to punch you right through, caller. Aloha, caller. Thanks so much for calling into Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
Aloha, Jonathan. May I turn my radio off?
Or you could turn it up if you wanted to have that cool sound effect, fact thing that can happen sometimes. Are you there, caller?
Oh, you.
You know, one of the things that I really enjoy listening, I love the radio and I love listening to the radio. I feel so blessed that I get to be on the other side of the radio sometimes. But one thing I've been noticing about listening to NPR, which I love to do sometimes, the information service I love to hate, is they say live from NPR News, blah, 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 blah. So I want to say that too. Live from KKCR Studios. You are on Out of the Box.
I enjoy NPR. The only thing I don't like are the commercials, especially that young lady who has that little chirpy voice.
Which one?
I don't know. She's always on, it seems like. That's why I like listening to the Beeb, you know. I get up early and many times at like
Justin
5,
Bieber?
I'll turn on and I'll listen to the Beeb's presentation.
Oh, the BBC.
What?
The BBC.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if you meant the BBC or Justin Bieber.
The Beeb, yes, the BBC.
Okay.
And the thing is, you know, they don't have the the commercial folks. You know, it's one thing to say this is a commercial and it's sponsored by, but no, they got to go through the subterfuge of
right.
So this young lady,
Archer Daniel Midland.
I just cannot stand it. Her chirpy voice, especially in the morning, it drives me. I just got to turn it off. I just cannot stand to listen. You know, that's why I like the bee. But anyway, speaking of water, you know, I think it was Mr. Trump's great-great-grandfather who had like a general store.
You're speaking of Reinhold Drumpf.
I think so.
Yeah, Herr Drumpf.
You heard about his trip, right?
No.
Well, the thing is, like, I guess when they discovered gold in the Yukon, he put the entire store, dry goods store, whatever, general store, on, you know, a floating device, whatever that
like would a barge?
Be, you know, a barge, yes.
But, and like then a Drumpf barge?
To where the business was, right?
Okay, he floated his store to the,
right.
to the gold fields.
So, I mean, I'm not against anybody, you know, who has a good business idea, but I told you last time we spoke, sir, or at least I spoke, that I was concerned about, you know, Mr. Trump's tendency to be an authoritarian a la Mussolini, and here he is, you know, quoting Mussolini.
He does seem to have some neo-fascist tendencies.
More than just a little bit. So, I mean, you know...
I like to be diplomatic.
I can respect someone who's conservative, but I don't like authoritarians on either side. And the thing I really don't like about Miss Clinton is her connection with Monsanto.
You know what I heard today? It was amazing. It was a report on the history of lead poisoning in America.
Right.
And, you know, evidently starting in the 1920s or so, they had been adding lead to paint. And they started adding it to gasoline. And so then lead was like in all these different kinds of products. And so the environment was getting saturated with lead. And starting in the 1920s, and I thought this was so fascinating, the medical community, they did their tests, they did their studies. They said, hey, you know what? Lead poisoning is a big problem. And guess what the lead industry did?
I don't know, sir.
The lead industry said, oh, no, smoking cigarettes is not bad for you. Oh, no, genetically modified organisms are not bad for you. Oh, no, DDT is not bad for you. Oh, no, glyphosate is not bad for you, and neither is lead. And so they spent the next 50 years arguing and calling for more studies and saying, oh, you don't have all the facts. Oh, you need to do more rigorous testing. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And guess who the owner of General Motors was, because they were the folks who introduced the methyl ethyl lead into gasoline.
Yeah. Guess
who? DuPont.
Oh, DuPont.
The very same people with the very same business model who were the very same poisoning of our environment while they just jump up and down that there's not enough studies. The facts aren't all in yet. My pesticides are innocent until proven guilty.
Well, I think it's really sad. Like, I see these, you know, I see people who still smoke cigarettes. I tell them, if you're going to smoke, you should buy non-American tobacco, because American cigarettes have over 2,000 chemicals like formaldehyde.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
You know, and so, I mean, you know, it's at least buy, you know, tobacco which is like straight, not treated with all these 2,000 additives. Like my dad, he smoked cigarettes because his dad owned a tobacco shop in Butte, Montana. And
where they smoke real cigarettes.
From the age of 6 until 86, and my brother would still find him like rolling up butts, you know. So he tried to quit, but he became so out of sorts. So I mean, I feel, you know.
After 8 decades of nicotine addiction, I could see how you might be hard to stop.
Yeah, well, I'm glad.
But eventually, he stopped, right?
Well, yes. Death has a way of like dealing with that.
So there you go.
But the thing is, what I find interesting is, like, you know, there was talking about, you know, the publication of Mein Kampf with footnotes, critical footnotes, and the thing
and,
about
and,
Hitler...
And if I could ask you just to pause for a second while I explain to the listener that Mein Kampf was a book that Adolf Hitler wrote when he was in jail in the 1920s after having been arrested after a political coup d'etat or a push.
Right.
And in Mein Kampf, he spelled out his vision for a greater Germany. So go ahead.
So, you know, these different scholars who were commenting on the technique that Hitler used throughout his book and then in later speeches before he became chancellor in 33 and then up to that point, was that he would like, and what Hitler advised, and, you know, and I guess a lot of folks have come up with this, is not just that the Jews, as he characterized it, the Jews were of no value. But
he seemed to have a long list of people that he felt that way about, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, homosexuals, communists, you name it.
Sure,
but he
Slavs,
said that
gypsies.
What you must do, you must make an amalgamation of all the bad things. So the Jews were not just Jews, but they were bankers and communists. So
and Untermenschen.
I mean?
Untermenschen. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
Yeah.
Under
subhumans.
That's right. That's right. They were useless eaters.
Takers.
Yeah, and so, you know, the thing is, like, so he was a master of manipulation, and so I think a lot of the advertising folks, that, you know, and the people in all these lovely industries have learned a lot from his technique of, like, you know, like just grouping together all of the bad aspects of the possible doubts about GMOs and all that jazz. And I just, I don't know, I just, it's been a fascinating political season, but I just don't trust any of these folks. I mean, I just look back.
Well, if I could interrupt just for a second, I've got another caller on the line, and I wanted to give you a chance to kind of wrap up your thoughts. So
okay, well, I just want to say that if you want to go back to our founding fathers, there were liberals and conservatives, and that's okay. Thomas Jefferson said that we should perhaps have a revolution every 20 years, and he also said one should not burden, you know, the present generation or a future generation with past debts. Now, in his own case, when he kicked the bucket, he owed over $100,000, you know, in his money back then because he liked the high lifestyle, right, because he drank a lot of good wines.
Well, I guess maybe the upkeep on Monticello was stiff. And he had, and you know, he had that Louisiana purchase. I mean, he dropped money around.
Well, he was but I mean, the whole thing is we should just return back to the dialogue that was initiated by the founding fathers, and I think that's really, those are really good touchstones for any reference points for our current discussions.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And I want to apologize to the caller who was standing by. Please do call back. I think that was probably Dylan Hooser who's going to call in. Evidently, here in Hawaii, I did not know about this, but there is a presidential preference poll. It's not exactly a caucus, and it's not exactly a primary, but let's let this caller see if they can explain it to us. One of the things I love so much about living on Kauai and doing radio here on KKCR is there's so many Akamai listeners. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. So I have a question for you. What is the difference between a caucus and a primary and a preference poll?
Okay. I don't know if I could actually give you the exact definition for each one.
Well, you know way better than I do.
Yeah, the way I understand it is the way Iowa and Nevada do theirs is not a good way to interpret the way we do ours.
Okay.
Each state is totally different. And the way ours is that the Democratic Party is basically holding a private election on March 26th.
And that's coming up. That's like in 3 weeks.
Yes, up in 3 weeks.
And what day of the week is that?
On a Saturday.
Saturday, okay. And how can people participate?
Okay, so that's where it gets a little trickier. So on the usual, when you go in to vote, you usually go in August and you go to your polling place, right? Everybody's got a different spot around the island.
Sure, and they're intended to be conveniently located so nobody has to drive across half the island.
Yeah, so this, on the 26th, it's a little bit different in the sense that our island is broken up into three districts.
Okay, the 14.
And in those districts.
Okay.
Yeah, in those districts, there's 14, 15, and 16.
Uh-huh.
And in those districts, they're broken up into precincts. You know, so there's 14-1, 14-2, 14-3.
Right. So if I could just, so each precinct, each district is like a hand, and each precincts are like fingers in that hand.
Yes.
Okay. And for some reason, Kauai has three hands. I mean, districts.
Yes. Three districts.
Okay.
And on District 14, there are five precincts. In District 15, there are also five precincts. And in District 16, there are six precincts.
Okay. I don't know why they get more than we do, but that's okay.
It's determined by the census.
Love you, West Side.
Yeah, no. And so the way it works out this year is that I'm not trying to pitch one candidate or another, but I just know on the HawaiiForBernie.com website.
Okay.
You can go on it, and there's a spot where you can put in your address where you're registered to vote, and it will tell you where your precinct is.
Okay.
It'll tell you which precinct corresponds to your address.
So now, is that Hawaii the numeral 4, or is that F-O-R?
F-O-R.
F-O-R. So Hawaii F-O-R Bernie. And that's BERNIE.com.
And then when you go to that page, it's really simple. You just kind of scroll down, and there's a spot that says find your caucus location.
Ah, okay, and caucus.
And you type in your street address, and it will tell you where you got to be on Saturday.
Okay, is there also like a Democratic Party website that does the same thing, or do they not have their kind of act together yet?
I would imagine they do. I just don't know if it's as easy as typing in your address and it'll find it for you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is super user-friendly, and that applies to both Bernie Sanders supporters and Hillary supporters.
Oh, okay. So, like,
if you're a Hillary supporter, you can go onto the page, type in your address, and you go to the same place that I would go if I'm a Bernie supporter.
Are you a Bernie supporter?
I am myself, yes.
And why is that?
Because I feel like he's the candidate that represents my core Democratic values the best.
And what are those?
Oh, there's so many. But just off the top of my head, I feel like he's looking out for people and not profits. He's putting people first and not the big corporations that are in my opinion, ruining America. You know, he's out there for he wants to raise the minimum wage. You know, he doesn't think he believes that people are working longer hours and saving less and making, you know, keeping less of that money. And that doesn't seem right. You know, if you're working 40 hours a week, you shouldn't be living in poverty.
Well, not, you know, arguably in one of the richest nations on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but one of the ways in which I sort of make an assessment about, like, how cool is a country or, like, how good of a job are they doing by their citizens, it's not, like, how many medals they win in the downhill skiing Winter Olympics, but more, like, how well do they care for the least among them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, America's for sure got lots of billionaires, but it also has millions of people without any health insurance. That's kind of crazy.
No, it is. It is. There's a lot of things that are pretty backwards in our country, you know.
You mean America.
In America, yeah. And he's also recognized and stated that global warming is a real threat, and it is a real threat that we are facing. And I want to say he put it up as one number one priority, which is awesome, because it is real. It's not something that's a fantasy or something that's being made up by the liberals, per se.
Well, how closely have you been following the Democratic American presidential primaries so far?
Somewhat. I know Super Tuesday was the other day, on this last Tuesday. That was the first large chunk of primary elections that came off first.
Yeah, and it seemed like, and perhaps you can correct me, or actually, I don't even know. So I think Hillary got like 300 or 400 delegates, and Bernie got like 200 or 300 delegates. Is that in the ballpark?
Yeah, Hillary did, I think, substantially better for Bernie, but I think it was also expected to a certain extent.
Well, Bernie Sanders was polling at less than 5%, like a year ago. So he's come up like 40 points. That's a pretty big deal.
No, he has. And, I mean, for what he was expected to do and what he's actually doing, I think he's doing what needs to be done.
So I'm inferring that you're a lifelong Democrat.
Yes.
What is it about Hillary Clinton that's not lighting your fire? Why do you prefer Bernie over Hillary?
I feel like she represents a lot of the establishment politics, you know, the old party Democrats. The Democratic Party prides itself on having a very large tent that encompasses, many different views and whatnot. And I just don't feel like her ideas line up with mine. I feel like she's a little more corporate geared. She's a little too close with Wall Street and everybody in New York. I feel like Bernie Sanders really represents a grassroots progressive candidate. He's not taking large donations. He's not taking money from large super PACs. He's not taking money from, the pharmaceutical companies. There is the guy Martin Shkreli that I don't know if you're familiar with him. He raised the cost of eating drugs.
Yeah, that's like that little hipster rascal who raised the price of drugs like 1,400%.
Yeah, I heard like 4,000, some ridiculous number.
Yeah, and then sat there and smirked at people and just laughed at them if they couldn't afford it.
And this wasn't like Advil. This is a drug that people need to live. From my understanding, it was like for HIV or for terminally ill patients.
Yeah, that guy sounds, I don't even know the word I can use to describe him on the radio right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And so he gave Bernie Sanders a donation, $2,700.
Really?
Bernie Sanders took that money and gave it to an HIV clinic in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Yeah, that shows some pretty good moral compass, in my opinion.
Huh. So do you not feel that Hillary Clinton has a moral compass?
No, I'm not saying that. I think she does, and I think that...
Do you think that hers is, deviated from Magnetic North? Or what's the difference between, in your mind, between Clinton and Sanders?
Like I said, Bernie is more of a grassroots candidate. He's looking to do this with the working people, with the average person. He's trying to make this happen. Like he's not taking money from the corporations, and that's a big one for me. He's not taking money from special interests. You know, he's keeping it small donations. Average donations are about $100 or less from average working people. You know,
I think he said $37.
Yeah, $37. It was something. Yeah.
I mean, I got 37 bucks. Yeah. Even I have 37 bucks.
Yep. No, for sure.
Well, is there anything else that you wanted to say, kind of wrap up, or maybe repeat about the presidential caucus here on the 26th? How do people get involved in that? And then I got to do some station business.
Yeah. So ideally, you're registered to vote. And you're part of the Democratic Party. Those are the two requirements. Like I said, it's basically a private election held by the Democratic Party. So they require you to be part of the party to participate in it.
So
the cool thing is you can do it the day of.
Okay.
You can come on March 26th and both register to vote and sign up for the Democratic Party right then and there.
So if you go to HawaiiForBernie.com, and that's Hawaii, F-O-R, Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E, HawaiiForBernie.com, if you go there, enter in your street address, it'll tell you where the party is. And then you can go down and join right then and there.
So, if you fall in Precinct 14-1, you need to go to Princeville Community Center. If you're precinct 14-2, you need to go to Kilauea Community Center.
Oh, okay.
14-3, Anahola Community Center. 14-4 and 14-5, Kapaa Neighborhood Center.
Okay, so are the Republicans doing their same thing on the same day here in Hawaii, or how does that work?
Honestly, I'm not exactly sure. I think it is on the same. The Republicans are on the same day, but they're doing the same process that we are for their nominee.
Huh.
And I guess I do want to say one thing. Regardless of which Democrat wins the nomination, they're still by far better than Donald Trump.
You mean, yeah, okay.
So, whether it's Hillary or Bernie, please just get out and participate and support, be part of the process, not part of the problem.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your views and your perspective. And I want the listener out there to know that if you are a supporter of Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Ted Cruz or whoever else is running on the GOP side, you're also welcome to call into the station and maybe let folks know how they can get involved in the GOP side of things. So appreciate you calling in. And good luck at HawaiiForBernie.com.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate the opportunity to share this information.
Well, you know, it's all about building community.
Sure.
Yep. And I just heard the Republican presidential preference poll is on March 8th.
March 8th?
Yes.
All right. So.
And I think Steve Yoder would be the best guy to talk to.
You know, I called Steve Yoder today and invited him to come on the show, and I haven't heard back from him yet. But, hey, Steve and Jay, if you're out there and you're listening, the phone lines are open right now. So thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jonathan. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha, brother.
So we just heard from Dylan Hooser, and now we are going to hear from Tulsi Gabbard.
Aloha. I'm Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. As a veteran of two Middle East deployments, I know firsthand the cost of war. I know how important it is that our commander-in-chief has the sound judgment required to know when to use America's military power and when not to use that power. As a vice chair of the DNC, I'm required to stay neutral in Democratic primaries, but I cannot remain neutral any longer. The stakes are just too high. That's why today I'm endorsing Senator Bernie Sanders to be our next president and commander-in-chief of the United States. We need a commander-in-chief who has foresight, who exercises good judgment, and who understands the need for a robust foreign policy which defends the safety and security of the American people, and who will not waste precious lives and money on interventionist wars of regime change. Such counterproductive wars undermine our national security and economic prosperity. As these elections continue across the country, the American people are faced with a very clear choice. We can elect a president who will lead us into more interventionist wars of regime change, or we can elect a president who will usher in a new era of peace and prosperity. It's with this clear choice in mind that I'm resigning as vice chair of the DNC, so that I can strongly support Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. And now I ask you, stand with me and support Bernie Sanders.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
That's right. So we just heard from Dylan Hooser. We just heard from Tulsi Gabbard. I spoke with Tulsi on the phone yesterday, and we were going to get her on to interview here, kind of do a follow-up question and answer to that video that she released a couple days ago. She was the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, and she had been having some issues with the way the DNC was structuring the debates for the Democratic presidential candidates. I think that at one point they only had four debates scheduled and they didn't want to have any more. And Tulsi said, hey, you know what? That doesn't make any sense. We should have lots of debates. We should give the candidates and the electorate ample choice to hear the views and opinions of those who want to become the commander-in-chief of the American federal project. So she kind of bucked rank there. And eventually they had more debates. So that was really nice to see. But Ms. Gabbard has taken some really principled positions in the last year, increasingly, with more debates, making a critique against the Obama policy for regime change in Syria, which is illegal and counterproductive in her view. And then she just stepped down from her position as the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee to endorse Bernie Sanders. So I wanted to follow up with her on that. She has a cold. We're all hoping that she feels better. She's got more interviews to do tomorrow, so rest up your voice, and we'll try and get you on the air in a week or two. So, and we've got someone who's been patiently waiting on the phone. So we're going to get you on the air. Aloha, caller. Thanks so much for waiting.
Oh, sure. I just have a quick question. Do you know if there's a way to be part of the Democratic primary process or to vote if you know you're not going to be on the island March 26th?
That is a great question. I do not know. I would go to the website that was just presented, HawaiiForBernie.com, and see if there's an email contact that you can make for someone.
Okay.
That's the best thing I can think of on the fly.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
If anybody else who's listening has a better idea, please do call in, and you know, I'm sure that you are not the only one who'd like to know, so we'd be happy to pass that on.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
And speaking of folks who want to learn more, in the studio right now we have a surfboard. That's right. Somebody found a surfboard, and it was near Kalihiwai Bridge. This was on Sunday the 28th. And who found this? It looks like a Bradalu. Bradalu found the surfboard. So way to go, Kabibi. If you're missing a surfboard and you can describe it for us, got to call in 826-7774. That's the office line. If during normal business hours, you can just talk to somebody in the station there, and they'll try to hook you up if you're missing your board. It was lost in the Kalihiwai Bridge region. So I don't know how far it floated to get there. You know, the surf was pretty big this last week and still is today. So, yeah, it's a nice little board. Got plenty of wax on the lid. And if you're missing your board, we might just have found it. So give the station a call at 826-7774. This is lost on Sunday, February 28th. So last weekend. And then also, we have a lost dog has been reported. This was in Kilauea. It's a pit bull mix. Oh, there's two. Oh my gosh. Two. So one is brown and one is white. They're both males. They have collar. They have ID. They may be dragging a rope or short chain. And the caller's name, I guess this is the fellow who wants his little pit bull pups back. His, is Eric. So his number is area code 374-703-0938. Oh, and it says it's okay to give his phone number out, so I'm glad I just did. Again, Eric, if you've seen a white or a brown pit bull, try and give Eric a call. And again, his number is area code 347-703-0938. I'm Jonathan Jay, and you are listening to Out of the Box, this on KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. And what else can we say? I mean, it doesn't really get much better than this. Live community radio. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you want to talk about your favorite American political party or the candidate that you're most wanting to support to be the new head of their executive branch, give us a call. The phone lines are open, area code 808-826-7771. What else? Oh, yeah. There we go. So I wanted to say hello to Tokyo. I wanted to say hello to Kahului and Vahiava. Oh, my gosh. So many people all over the world. Even the Deutsche are listening. So wherever you are, whatever time your local clock says, it's now right here. I think where it's like, what is it, like 2:30 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, UTC. But here in the Pacific, it's about 4:30, coming up on 4:40. So I don't do the 4:40 funnies, but some folks do that. Instead, I will let you know about the Republican presidential caucus. The last caller was pretty close. It is March 8th. Good job. March 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. And they are also dividing the island up into, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 parts. If you're in the North Shore, Haena, Hanalei, Princeville, or Kilauea, you go to the Princeville Community Center. And this, again, this is the Republican Presidential Caucus, March 8th, 6 to 8 p.m. So if you're, yeah, so if you're in the North Shore, go to the Princeville Community Center. If you're in Anahola, Kealia, Kapa'a, or Wailua, go to the Kapa'a Neighborhood Center. If you're in Hanama'ulu, Lihue, or Puhi, go to the Lihue Neighborhood Center. If you're on the south side in Omau, Koloa, Lava'i, Kalaheo, Eleele, Hanapepe, or Kaumakani, you want to go to the Kalaheo Neighborhood Center. And if you're out on the west side, if you live near Pakala or Waimea or Kekaha or Ni'ihau, hook up at the Waimea Neighborhood Center. That's going to be March 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you have any questions, please call my brother from another mother, Stephen J. Yoder. His number is area code 808-855-5503. Again, that is area code 808-855-5503. That's Stephen J. Yoder. And this, and he can help you out with any kind of questions you have regarding the presidential caucuses for the Republican Party, which will be taking place on March 8th through 6 to 8 p.m., so in the evening of March 8th. If you are of the Republican persuasion, if you think that old party is grand and you have a candidate that you want to support for the American executive, please give us a call. The phone lines are open. All listeners are welcome. This is a place where you can call in and express your views without feeling hassled by the man or me. I won't hassle. I will just listen respectfully. I might ask you some questions if I'm confused or want you to explain something further. If you have, if you're trying to impart a story and tell some facts, I might ask you to cite your source, like where did this information come from? But if it's just your opinion, hey, you know what?
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
Hello.
Aloha, caller. Thanks so much for calling in to Out of the Box. What's on your heart?
Well, nothing is too much on my heart. This is Steve Yoder. Someone said that somebody at the radio station tried to contact me today.
That was me.
Is that you?
That wasn't me. And you know what, Steve? You know what, Steve? I don't believe there's nothing in your heart. I know you. I know you have sometimes a prickly exterior, but I know you have a great big heart. You know why?
Okay.
You know why? Tina told me so.
Well, there you go. Who can doubt that woman?
Not me.
So was there something you wanted to ask about? Are we on the air presently?
We are indeed on the air. We're on the air of your community airways, and I'm so happy to be hearing the voice of Stephen J. Yoder on Kauai Community Radio.
Been a while.
Too long. Are you going to come back and do a show? I love your Beatles show.
Well, if I can get a time slot. It's hard to get a time slot.
Well, there's a lot of volunteers here, so that's a great problem to have.
That's a good problem.
So, Mr. Yoder, please tell me, I haven't been following the Republican caucuses too much. How do you see what's going on there? What's your feeling about this whole Trump dynamic? And it seems like party leaders are starting to gang up on him from all different sides. I heard a quote from Mitt Romney today who really attacked him. How do you see all this?
Well, the word dynamic is the proper word. I may lose you. I'm traveling down the road here, but he has brought a lot of interest to the race. Of course, right now, the presidential Republican debate is taking place on Fox right now.
Is that on right now?
Even as we speak. It started at 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So anyway, it's on 8:30 a.m., but you can see it on Fox Channel 109, I think is what it is, or Channel 15, depending which cable service you have. But either way, it's become a very hotly contested race. Trump basically is, I think, the default candidate because the Republican Party has been promised the repeal of Obamacare. Fast and Furious would be looked into. Benghazi would be looked into. And the FBI, of course, we know what's happening with Hillary Clinton looking after the emails and the server.
Wait, what did you? I didn't catch what you said. SDI?
Oh, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, FBI.
Hillary.
I thought you said SDI, which I think stands for the Strategic Defense Initiative, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that stands for Star Wars. But anyway, so I think it's a good thing, but the main thing I would like our listeners to know that if they're interested in voting in the Republican presidential caucus.
Yeah, I just gave all that information out.
Good, okay. So it'll be this coming Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Okay, that's really fast.
Yep, it's March 8th. 6 to 8, only for those 2 hours. If you want to vote in a Republican presidential caucus.
I do. How do I do it?
You have to register as a Republican.
How do I do it?
Just go up to, for you, it would be the Kapaa Neighborhood Center, since you live in the Homesteads.
I do. Well, actually, Homesteads, right.
Yep. So those people who live from Wailua River to Anahola will be voting in Kapaa Neighborhood Center.
Okay, and do I have to...
Since it is a Republican caucus, it's not being held at the normal places where a state-run election would be doing.
Okay.
And you do have to register, make sure that you're registered to vote. We'll know that when you show up at the poll.
Okay.
Tuesday. We'll have a list of everybody who's registered to vote. If you're not, then you can register to vote.
So same-day service.
Same-day service, and then you also fill out a registration card. It's very simple. It's just your name, address, and phone number, and a signature say that you're joining the Republican Party, which simply allows you to vote in that one election.
I'm excited about that. And from what you're explaining, it sounds like it's one-stop shopping. You can go in and do all three things right then and there.
Yeah, and it doesn't. But I want to make sure that the listeners know it doesn't mean that you have to register or that you have to vote Republican in the future. It's just in order to vote in a Republican caucus, just like the Democrat caucus on March 26th.
Yeah, 26th.
You have to register as a Democrat to vote in that. So it's the same thing with Republicans.
Cool. So you can register as a Republican or a Democrat, but you don't have to go steady. It's not like you're going to put a pin on your sweater and then like...
No, there's two registration forms. One to vote in the state of Hawaii, which is, there's not party-based.
Okay.
In Hawaii, we don't have, sign up for a certain party in our state.
Okay.
And then there'll be a separate registration card just for showing that you're going to be voting in the Republican caucus.
Okay, so if folks are interested, they should go to their local neighborhood center this coming Tuesday, so like, what is that, like 4 or 5 days from now, and 6 to 8 p.m. Show up early, yeah?
Show up early. The lines will close. I mean, whoever's in line at 8, you can still vote, but the only neighborhood centers that will be home, here's how it works. If you live in Kilauea, to the very end of the road, KA Beach, you vote at the Princeville Community Center.
Okay.
And if you live Molawa'a on down to the Wailua River, Wailua Homesteads area.
That's Kapaa Neighborhood Center?
Then you vote at the Kapaa Neighborhood Center. If you live on the other side of the Wailua River to Puhi, then you vote in the Lihui Neighborhood Center.
Okay.
And then if you live in Omau to Kalaheo, which would include Kaloa, Lawai'i,
Omau,
Kalaheo Neighborhood Center.
Sure. So.
And then one more. If you live in Waimea or Ke Kaha or Niihau, you vote at the Waimea Neighborhood Center. So those, there's four neighborhood centers and the principal community center, 5 locations.
So it sounds to me like the Republican Party presidential caucus is coming to a neighborhood center near you this Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., March 8th. Except if you live like in Kaumakani or Niihau, you're going to have to hoof it a little bit.
Yeah, Kaumakani, I'm trying to look at it here. Let's see what.
Well, that's out past Hanapepe. That's a ways to get back to Kalae.
I left some cards here at the station. You must have a valid photo ID.
Ah, okay. So, valid photo ID. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, so you have to prove that you are who you are. But, Omau, Kaloa, Lawai, Eleele, Hanapepe, Kaumakani, vote in Kalae.
Yeah, I like that. Kaumakani. Do you know what that means?
No.
It's, I think it means the place where the winds meet. Really beautiful and poetic. If someone knows better than I do, please call in. The phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you have a better translation of Kaumakani.
Okay. So anyway, but to answer your question, Trump has done a lot to make this a very interesting election cycle.
I'll say.
I believe he will get the 1,230. He needs 1,237 delegates to win.
Yeah, that's 1,237 delegates.
37.
Yeah.
So,
it's an odd number.
July 15th in Cleveland.
July 15th in Cleveland.
That's the Republican National Convention.
So
DNC. Democrats will have theirs in Philadelphia.
In Philly. Huh.
Yeah.
So why do you think the GOP chose Cleveland?
I don't know. Probably a good deal. You know how Republicans are. Why not?
Sure.
So, that's about it. Any other questions?
Yeah. Do you feel bad that Bush dropped out, or was he one of your who were you initially supporting?
I'm just whoever wins the nomination, I'll definitely support. I'm definitely a. one who believes it's solid in the Constitution. I don't believe in what's been happening with the president creating laws, the Supreme Court creating laws. I believe that only people who can pass laws are Congress. So I don't believe too much in the executive orders that have been taking place.
What do you think of extrajudicial execution? That's something that the presidents, this Obama and Bush before him, were both just electing people to be terminated via drone strikes. That doesn't seem constitutional to me. How do you feel about that?
Well, no, I believe the reason why there's Guantanamo is so we can put people in there. When we had Bush in there, we were capturing people. We weren't just killing them outright. The reason why President Obama is killing people is because he doesn't want to face dealing with Guantanamo. He wants to empty it out.
Well,
so we're killing precious information. If we'd done that, we wouldn't have known much about the terrorist attack on 9/11 and other future attacks. When you kill the terrorists, you kill the information that goes with them.
So Obama is going to be in Cuba in a couple of weeks, as well as the Hokulea Polynesian voyaging canoe and Mick Jagger and the rest of the Rolling Stones. I mean, what a crazy week that's going to be.
Yes, I guess so. I guess so.
Well, we got a couple of crazy weeks coming up here on Kauai with the GOP presidential caucus next week, and then a couple of weeks later, the Democrats. So thanks so much for calling in. I've got your card here. I'm going to keep it right on top of the board so other DJs can have access to that information. And
gives you all the information. If somebody wants to contact, get more information, they can go to Steve, that's my name, STEVE, at GOPHawaiiState.com. And they can also contact me on my phone number, 855-5503. They can text, and they can call at that phone number if they have any questions.
All right, so that's...
So I appreciate you having me on the air.
Sure, that's Steve at GOPHawaii.com.
Correct.
And are you serving in an official capacity, or are you just doing this out of the extreme goodness of your heart?
I'm county chair for the Republican Party, of course.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
Well, I'm doing it out of just duty. I'd rather just be set behind the desk playing 60s music at KKCR, trust me.
Well, I want to thank you for your service to our community. We've been speaking with Stephen J. Yoder, presently the GOP county chair. If you have any questions you want to follow up on what we just talked about, you can give him a call at 808-855-5503, or you can send him email, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at GOPHawaii.com. Steve Yoder, thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys take care.
All righty, aloha.
Bye-bye.
So we're coming up towards the 5 o'clock hour. I guess that means that I can tell you that you are listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, as well as KAQA, did I say that? I said that right. As well as K224CQ Anahola and K284AL Haleiwa over on Oahu. That's 104.7 on Oahu, 95.1 on the cable, 92.7 in Ko'olau here on Kauai, 91.9 from the mountaintop of Mount Kahili and 90.9 on the very North Shore, broadcasting from our jungle shack. We've got a caller who's calling now. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to lean over all the way here and answer the phone and come back and bring you up. Aloha, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Aloha. I know we don't have too many more moments here. I just...
Time is actually infinite.
Yes, it is. I appreciate that timeless, that quantum physics of timelessness and agelessness. And
yeah,
so
it's just what you choose to do with it right
exactly.
Now.
And I'm interested right now in this moment about a presidential election and even county council this year, all seven seats opening up, within the context of the very real reality of Hawaii being an occupied territory of the United States of what I call dysfunction.
So, well, hold on just there because I think you've raised a really important point, and I'm not certain that I understand it very well, and I know a lot of people don't.
Yes.
So maybe you could break that down. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Well, I appreciate you asking that, Jonathan Jay, and I really appreciate all the diversity that all of you folks contribute to the world, really, there at KKCR. And, you know, at Songs of Sovereignty, they've really been discussing this issue. It's really quite profound. And there is a website about it, and I'm actually looking at my notes right now to find out, because I definitely am not a scholar on it, and I am definitely not an authority on it, but there's a website, gosh, forgive me, I can't find it right now, but it's something along the lines of, you know, HawaiiSovereignty.org, and where it illustrates the charter, it illustrates international law, it illustrates the coup that took place here in Hawaii, and how legitimately even other nations around the world recognize that the kingdom, or as I like to call it, because we're entering the whole new age of the golden age of honoring the masculine and the feminine, I like to say the queendom of Hawaii, and moving away from patriarchy and more of a egalitarian balance between masculine and feminine, and it's honored, it's recognized as an official independent nation that is occupied, that is under the international law definitions of an occupied territory, and has been, and there is quite a movement among all of the Hawaiian Islands to really bring this to the fore, and for those of us that consider Hawaii our home, it's not a kind brother the other day mentioned that it's not a Hawaiian as an ethnicity, it's Hawaiian as a nationality.
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to do a couple of station business things, take care of that, make sure we get to keep the lights on, and make sure we thank our underwriters and such. But I want to come back to you and for a few more minutes give you an opportunity to further expand on that. Does that sound good?
Okay, Jonathan Jay, I'll be here, man.
All right. So I want to let folks know, I told you already that you're listening to KKCR. I gotta play this.
Aloha, KKCR Ohana. Kauai Community Radio is constantly evolving. In January, we will begin the 2016 KKCR Strategic Plan, and you are invited. In a series of public meetings, group discussions, collaborative workshops, and awesome station parties, we will review and rededicate ourselves to the future of Kauai Community Radio. Please get involved in the future of your radio station by emailing strategicplan@kkcr.org and stay tuned for more updates about the KKCR Strategic Plan, and mahalo for your participation.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
So I want to thank you, the listener, who for your involvement, for your energy, for your passion, for your financial support, and just tuning in and telling people about KKCR. A lot of folks don't even know what community radio is all about. So we embody that every day. Non-commercial, non-advertising based, but we certainly do appreciate listeners like you, as well as locally owned small businesses who are happy to support the mission here at KKCR, like Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui and Compassionate Care.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. So thank you so much, Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care. It's the support from folks like you with your annual and monthly and regular donations to this community volunteer-run project. That's really what helps make KKCR thrive. So we were speaking before the break with a caller who is walking us through a little bit of what he's learning recently about Hawaiian sovereignty. This is the continued existence of a sovereign and independent nation as recognized by international law over 150 years ago. So we have just a few minutes. I've got my 5 o'clock guest just rolled in. We're going to change gears in a bit. But if you could kind of sum up your thoughts about Hawaiian sovereignty.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And folks, listeners can go to online HawaiianKingdom.org. And it was Timothy Reese the other day that was on KKCR that talked about Hawaiian as a nationality, not an ethnicity. And I think this is really important, too, as we come together, no matter what our origins are and what land we may have been born at, on, that these lands, that this aina that we consider our home, is precious. And there's movements across Kauai here to protect the soil, protect the water, and to have the rights be given to the native Hawaiians to be able to not be interfered by private interest and the so-called private property. And getting back a little bit to what you've been discussing, Jonathan Jay, because I know you've been talking about Democrats and Republicans, I just would like to put it out there. I know we don't really have moments now to elaborate, but just for folks, for some food for thought and some things to chew on about just the context of a beautiful king queendom here that is an official occupied territory of the United States of America, and when folks are thinking about registering to vote and voting for a president, I also would like to call attention to the rigged electoral college.
The electrical college.
Electoral.
Oh, Kalamai, thank you. I mispronounced that.
Yeah, electoral college.
All right,
and
thank you.
Folks can do their research on this, but it's essentially unconstitutional, and essentially.
No, it would be constitutional if they didn't stick it in the Constitution.
Well, it really takes the power away from the people, and so if we're really going to have, whether it's an occupied territory or not, whether we're acknowledging the United States as a legitimate or illegal colonial entity, folks, I really encourage folks to really look at the behind the scenes of what this presidential election is about. And until we get big corporations and the electoral college out of politics, it's actually rigged. They've already picked Hillary Clinton, mark my words. They've already picked her. years ago. So this whole thing is just one big gong show that makes a lot of money for a few people at the top.
And where is Chuck Willary when you need him?
Anyway, I appreciate you all so much, and I appreciate that diversity. It is a little bit painful, though, I have to admit, when I hear talk about Donald Trump and the Republican Party here on Kauai. And it's just, it's
actually
almost comical.
I should correct you. It's Donald Drumpf. Yeah, that's actually, if you go back a couple generations, they changed the name from Drumpf. That's D-R-U-M-P-F, Drumpf. You know, maybe he was ashamed of his heritage. I don't think that should be the case. I think he should be proud of his heritage. I think we should all help make Donald Drumpf again.
Well, I'm holding out for all nations to be free and sovereign, and to honoring the land, Malama Aina, everywhere, and caring for each other in a egalitarian, utilitarian way, and that's what I'm voting for.
That sounds great. I say amen to that, brother.
Aho.
Thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciate that.
Mahalo ke akua.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And, you know, real interesting, the point he raised about Kanaka Maoli versus Kanaka Hawaii. You have people who have koko, and then you have people who are citizens of the kingdom who could be from anywhere in the world as long as they support the principles, the idea, and the constitution of the Hawaiian kingdom. Another thing that the caller said started to make my stomach growl is he said food for thought and something to chew on it. And you know what that made me think of?
What's for dinner?
That's exactly right. It made me think about what's for dinner. And so, Nihi, I'm so glad you're in the studio now. And I'm so stoked in less than 21 minutes, we're going to fire up the grill and see what you got cooking. Yeah, so stick around. But until then, we're going to talk to your dad, who's sitting over in the other chair on mic 2. And you guys are kind of doing this amazing tag team thing. I mean, you've got this land on the east side, Kailia. It used to be a big, big, like a plantation. Or what's the history of Kailia?
Yeah, Kailia's got an awesome history. You know, under the Mahele, it was gifted to Ke Kaunohi, one of the...
Oh, who's that?
She was one of the heirs of Kamehameha. And that happened. That happened a lot. You know, land on Kauai went to Princess Ruth, went to Palahi, went to different ali'i.
You
know,
you say that's
Kekauanohi, I believe.
Kekauanohi. Okay.
Yeah, and she
cool.
was for a short time. She was governess of Kauai.
Nice.
And then it came under the.
But I mean, Kealia, just so folks know, it's an entire
Ahupua'a. It's an Ahupua'a land section between Kapa and Kamalomalo'o, which is the little strip just before you get to Anahola.
So yeah, where they've got the KIEC kind of Frankenstein solar experiment
on the side of the
road.
Beautiful New Age artwork.
Hey, there's no free lunch. If you want the lights on,
that's
if you don't want to burn oil.
That's right.
They still could have set it back. They still could have set it back from the road.
They have a big, you know, Hanukkah candle there or something. That's you know.
You know what I kind of wish, and this isn't really the topic for today, but I kind of wish they'd taken all those solar panels and built homes for Hawaiians on Hawaiian homeland so that the panels could have a roof to sit on. But you know, we can all dream dreams.
That's another show.
I'd
be glad to talk about that.
There's so much. There's so much to talk about. But today it's Kailia and the agricultural renaissance that's going on there.
Yeah, and it just has a long history of agriculture. You know, it has obviously, you know, probably a thousand year or more history of subsistence farming by Kalo and Uwala and things like that.
Uwala, what's Uwala?
Uwala.
Sweet potato.
Yeah, sweet potato.
Oh, that's right. I know that word. Thank you.
But we know there was, you know, I've seen records of probably 2 dozen land commission awards, and so I have a kind of a cool history of, you know, what families were farming down there in 1848, and how big their farms were, who their neighbors were, how many taro patches they had, and that was the subsistence agriculture, and then in about 1850. In the 1850s, a German named Ernst Kruhl operated a large beef and dairy ranching operation. He sold all sorts of tallow, hides,
oh, like
butter.
The full meal deal.
Oh, the full meal deal, too.
Wow, they ate them, rendered everything,
yep.
Wow.
Yep. And they were serving the Pacific Whaling Fleet.
And what era was this?
1850s.
Wow.
Right up until the advent of the American Civil War.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then suddenly things got sweet and sour.
Yeah, well, because as the whaling ships pulled back into port, they were either sunk or conscripted into one of the navies.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Civil War shut down all whaling.
In Hawaii?
Well, no, they weren't selling their wares in Hawaii.
Oh, they were hunting whales in the waters here, then
sure.
They would go back. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and as soon as you pulled into port,
they would get conscripted into either the north or the south.
Or sunk if they were flying a...
The wrong color of fabric,
yeah,
on the top of the
gee
whiz. People are so crazy.
It is. So that that shut down Hawaii's economy.
But also a new market emerged.
Ah, the new market emerged thanks to some guys in Koloa, right, who had learned from the Chinese and Indians how to process sugar juice.
Yeah, to take the cane and break them on
wheel. So, yeah, there's nothing new about growing sugar cane. People, New Guinea people, had known how to do that for 4,000 years.
Or give or take.
A couple hundred. So it was the refining process. Right.
Getting industrial, right?
Yeah. But still, you know, having that process, and they started kind of small plantations and stuff.
Now, the Maki Sugar Company, was that up in Kilauea? In Kealia.
In Kealia. But the history of that had to do with Kalakaua's reign, because...
So just to let people know, Kalakaua was the king...
The king of Hawaii
from
the 1850s, 60s through 1870s, 80s,
okay.
Around there.
So towards the end.
Yeah, towards the end. And he was heavily...
Because they gave him the bayonet business in 1878.
Yes, so he was both kind of, intelligently persuaded by and then...
Strong-armed.
Pointedly forced...
Yeah.
forced to embrace world economics and politics, right?
Particularly America.
America,
yeah,
right.
America.
And so, and mostly the sugar planters, the sons and daughters of missionaries primarily, but not entirely them, convinced them, look, you know, sugar is the way to go. We want it. We want the land to grow it on. We want to sell it to the United States. So you need to get over there and tell the United States to open their doors to our sugar.
And when the Civil War kicked in, and previously the South had been like the main purveyor,
sure,
of the sweet stuff to the North, but then the North was at war with the South, so they didn't want to buy their sugar.
Yeah, so, you know, Sherman marched across the South and burnt every cotton field and sugar cane field he could. So all of a sudden, the end of the war, the Northern folks were jonesing for sugar.
Right, because that's what sugar junkies do.
That's right, yeah. And then the politicians were like, wow, we don't really want the South to have a cash crop again, and here's this guy Kalakaua from Hawaii asking to import sugar. Shucks,
a deal made in heaven, paradise.
Yeah, so what they call the reciprocity treaty,
right? Which means we get Pearl Harbor and we'll buy your sugar.
Exactly. So anyway, that happened.
Reciprocity. What's yours is ours.
It's ours, and what?
And now shut up.
So anyway, that happened, and Kalakaua, you know, he was kind of a worldly guy after that. He was, kind of
he was the first monarch
that.
To
was, yeah.
circumnavigate the
yeah.
globe.
He was, you know, he was...
Of
was,
any,
was so
of
cool,
any
right?
nation.
So he, you know, that was the world he, you know, he lived in, and so he began to, what we would now call today, is to solicit venture capital.
Because
the missionary guys had land, but they didn't necessarily have money, right?
Huh.
So he had become good friends with James McKee on Maui, who was a retired whaling captain and who had started Ulupalakua Sugar and Ulupalakua Ranch on Maui and had been quite successful. So James McKee's operation on Maui was kind of the model. And Kalakaua would go around and tell people, man, you got to come look at my buddy's operation. It is so cool. We need more people like him. one of the people that came over, and there's some suggestions he actually came over somewhat kind of as a spy, or not a spy, but anyway,
it's okay by me.
Yeah, he was checking stuff out.
He
was checking stuff out.
Recon.
For the U.S. government, yeah, and he was a retired Union colonel named Zephaniah Spaulding. And he went over to Maui.
Zephaniah.
Isn't that a cool name? Zephaniah Spaulding.
Zephaniah. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
What's that? What did you say there, Nee?
Say it again.
Zephaniah.
Yeah. That's cool. An awesome name.
I know.
So he comes over to Maui and likes what he sees. And he goes, wow, this is cool. I'm ready to invest. Where can I get land and grow sugar?
So I'm guessing this is where Kealia comes back
so
into
Kalakaua
the picture.
Yeah, so Kalakaua goes, come to Kauai with me. I got the place. So they form what today we would call a joint venture. So Kalakaua,
a public-private partnership?
It was private-private.
Oh, private.
Kalakaua,
oh, the king was
the
cutting
king,
his...
Yeah,
oh, wow.
The king had his own business.
How forward-thinking of
Isn't
him.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
so, yeah,
so maybe.
So he had his
maybe.
Own, maybe. So he had his own business. The king and his like privy council, a bunch of guys, set up their own plantation in Kapaa. And they built a mill. Spaulding set up his operation in Kealia. Ended up marrying McKee's daughter and named the whole thing McKee Plantation.
So is there a Spaulding monument? Is that still up
there,
the hill?
There is, because as it turns out, he, you know, probably unlike a lot of plantation era
people,
right?
Sure. Keeping it diplomatic.
Keeping it diplomatic, you know. By all accounts, he was a wonderful land occupier and owner and overseer and so forth, to the point where after he passed away and the plantation shut down, they erected a monument to Spaulding.
A
bust.
Of Zephaniah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
A Zephaniah bust.
Yeah, pretty,
how often
pretty
do you
cool.
get to say that?
Yeah. So it was by 18, he started in 1877. By 1888, within 10 years, because he came from a moneyed family in Ohio, and he had lots of money, and he invested, and he built the plantation big and fast. So within 10 years, they had 3,000 or 4,000 employees. They had a five-story sugar mill right across from the beach, right there at Kealia. It was the first fully electrified plantation in Hawaii, partly by hydroelectric and partly by burning bagasse.
Wow, that's
isn't
amazing.
That,
because
isn't that cool?
That's amazing because when I, you know, as I ride my bike to go surfing at Kealia, or if I drive by there or whatever, it looks just like a great big, huge, empty valley.
That's right, and that's what it has been for the past 25 years, because the plantation shut down about 25 years ago, and it's been basically ranch land.
But there's still good land there.
In fact,
it's all river bottom, you know, high.
Well, there's about, you know, most of it, you know, all the way up to the mountain, the entire. So most of the 5,000 acres
is kind of
upland, you know.
I was going to ask
you.
That's my guess. 5,000 acres.
Probably about 5,000 acres. You know, and much of that was farmed, and like most of our uplands, it's actually not very good farming soil.
No, but the river bottom is more so, yeah.
The river bottom is probably about 300 acres of river bottom, like you would see in Manalei Valley from the overlook. And those, of course, all river bottoms in Hawaii are our most fertile
soils.
That's
where the good stuff is.
That's where the good stuff is. And so we were so fortunate to have been brought in there probably about 8 years ago, actually when they were trying to develop Kealia. They needed
Oh, that's right. They had the Gentleman Tea Estate venture that went nowhere.
So they needed some, you know, real farmers, and brought up me and my partners in to do it. And it's primarily for taro. And we've developed about 25 acres of taro, which is about an average-sized taro farm in Hanalei.
So you've got, if I'm doing the math right, you've got about 10% of these 300 acres of the river bottom stuff in Kalo.
That's right.
What else are you growing?
So, and we actually lease about 100 acres, so about a quarter or a third of our lease is in Kalo. And then, so we couldn't, you know, you can't, it takes years and years and years to build taro patches. It's a very slow process. So in the past year, we brought in about 10 or a dozen additional farmers to do diversified crops, mostly vegetables and row crops. And they grow everything from papayas, bananas, kale, broccoli,
tomatoes,
zucchini. I mean, it's whatever you see at a farmer's market.
Cacao?
The cacao, we do have about 500 producing cacao trees in the valley. That goes back to the development days in 2003. They were, in addition to tea, they were doing some other trials of other potential crops.
So those cacao trees are like 15 years old right now?
I'm going to say, yeah, about 8 to 10.
And you got 500 cacao trees. How cool is that?
Isn't that neat? Yeah. And they're producing. So we've got a couple people that kind of mess around and make chocolate. So,
Uncle
yeah, it's
Mike.
Really cool. Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty neat.
So what is what's ripe on the farm today?
Oh, my.
What's coming in?
What is coming in?
Because the seasons
watermelon?
Here, they go all over the place, right? I mean, it's not – when I was a kid in Seattle, you would have – you know, like a couple, 3 or 4 months of summer, and that was it. It was gray and rainy the whole time, so you had one growing season. But here, stuff seems like it grows around the calendar.
Well, yes and no. So most of the greens, you know, they can pull off kale.
Kale.
You know, that's one of the reasons that you've seen this explosion of kale in the last 5 years. You know, it's it grows pretty well all year round.
Yeah, our kale just never stops.
Yeah, it just never stops.
It's like dinosaur kale. I think it's been growing since the dinosaurs.
Whereas things like, you know, Manoa lettuce, some of the more tender greens are tough to pull off in the summer, right? When it gets super hot.
Oh, too hot.
And carrots.
So for some things like kale, we can get all year round. Zucchinis, you can get all year round. Cucumbers, tomatoes. For other things, we do have seasons. Fruit trees, for example, are a great, you know, seasonal thing in Hawaii. The mangoes are just starting to flower.
Right now. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right?
I've seen that.
The citrus are just starting to fruit, right?
So our citrus, begin to see
lime,
our citrus are pow.
Lemon.
Others are in full fruit.
Oh, so that's the next year's crop.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Nihi, did I hear you say watermelon a minute ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Watermelon are not necessarily seasonal, but they're easier to grow at certain times of the year. And so we've got some farmers. We have, like you see at the farmers market, farming here on Kauai is a multicultural, multi-ethnic collection of folks. So we've got ethnic Chinese, meaning recent immigrants from China, Thai folks, Filipinos, help me out, Nihi.
okay.
Hawaiians.
Hey.
And you'll hear what's cool is that...
Any Fijians?
Almost at every market we have Samoans and Tongans.
Samoans?
Thai.
Fijians,
Thai?
Thai,
yeah.
Caucasians?
We got one or two of those, too.
Yeah,
how
a couple
about
Caucasians
that, right?
From the Caucasus Mountains.
Which ones?
I suppose originally.
Yeah, maybe.
Caucasian.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Nihi, I am not Hawaiian. I am Caucasian.
Wait.
When did this happen? and so what's
you
cool...
You could be a Hawaiian citizen, though.
That's true. Unfortunately, I'm not. I am a patriotic American citizen.
So what are you going to do about that government of yours? You know,
exactly.
America's
well,
a great country, but
should,
you guys are doing a terrible job.
It's true. We
controlling
should hold,
your government.
We should hold them accountable for all deeds. If we put someone in prison and find out later that they are innocent,
they should be
released. If we take something of someone else's and discover later it was stolen,
oops,
it should be returned. And that, you know, that we should do that because we are good citizens of the world. And our government should be held accountable and be held to do the right thing.
Well, you know, that is also another show.
Yes, that is another show.
So back to Kalea Farms.
We're just so blessed to have all these great farmers joined us in the past year. And we opened up just about a year ago. We opened up
last year.
We opened up our own farm market, which is kind of a private venue for our farmers at Kealia.
So explain to the listener the difference between a farmer's market and a farm market.
Yeah, so we call it a farm market because we wanted to provide kind of a special venue for our farmers on site. We're really fortunate to have one of the last little pieces of plantation infrastructure down there, which is kind of a big garage or a lanai with a nice...
It's like a gigantic open structure.
It's really cool.
What are the roof, the ceilings there? It's like 20 feet high.
Yeah, huge. So it was like the motor pool at the end. So they, you know, parked vehicles in there, worked on them, and so forth.
I mean,
so
you could wash a fire truck inside there.
Exactly,
huge.
Yeah. But it's just, we're so blessed. It's got, you know, electricity and bathrooms and also it's just great.
Beautiful concrete floor.
Beautiful concrete floor. So it's just this perfect
and
place.
And beautiful
to
signs.
Have and signs. So we're so fortunate that we have this venue where our farmers can come over and the customers can come and be out of the sun and the
so
rain.
So where is it?
And it is just Mauka of Kealia Beach.
And Mauka.
Mauka is towards the mountains.
Okay.
So look away from the beach. Yeah. And that's Kealia Road. You'll see the Green Pig, which is a food truck there run by Auntie Lihue Kinimaka.
You guys have a sign out there too, yeah?
Only during the market days and times.
And when is that?
Monday
and Friday. What time, Nihi?
3 to 7.
Yeah, 3
to
7.
Pauhana, yep.
So I've been there sometimes at 3.
Yep.
It seems like you guys aren't really all the way set up sometimes.
Well,
and then I've come also at 6:45, and like everybody's gone.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's we're on kind of Hawaiian time like that, right? Mm. So if the customers, and there are particularly like, you know, people waiting for their poi, we do
like
sell
me?
Poi there. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, like I came by on
Friday.
Or
Monday. And
Monday.
We were all sold out.
No,
that's right.
No GD poi.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay. Well, how about some hot lau lau?
All sold out. Son of a gun, man.
What time did it sell out?
That day, probably like 5:30. But
all right,
there
so I'm gonna come earlier.
Got to get come early.
I'm gonna come early.
And that is a reflection of how supportive the community has been. You know, although we're a small market, because really we only allow our farmers or their families and vendors or
George of the Jungle.
Yeah, or product, especially product makers who use the farm's products.
So, like, if somebody made Lilikoi jam from Lilikois that
exactly.
grow on your farm, then that would be a thing they could
do. That's right.
In fact, isn't there someone who does that?
Auntie Amber.
Auntie Amber talent.
Yep,
yeah,
the Lilikoi
she
lady.
Has a talent for
she
Lilikoi.
She sure does. Everything she makes is just mind-blowing.
Oh, my God, Lilikoi.
Got Mike Yulo, who has beehives on the property, makes some awesome, not only is honey.
Tea, chocolate.
Oh, yeah, just all sorts of cool products. Both bee products, you know, he uses the propolis, makes candles with the wax, he makes soap. So it's not just food, we've got other stuff.
Well, before you're talking about candles and wax, I'm starting to get really hungry, but...
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm getting hungry again.
Hey, my show.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're this next Friday, not this Friday, but the 11th, I believe.
March 11th.
We're kind of having a baby luau and just a small celebration.
And what day is this? It's Friday?
Friday the 11th.
Okay.
And it'll just be during regular market times from 3 to 7, but we're going to have our farmers, in addition to selling the stuff that they grow, right? I think all of them are going to have like a little dish or poo-poos prepared for people to sample that they've cooked from what they grow.
And what are some, just run down some of the stuff that you guys are growing right now.
Oh, so for example, let's see, Gary grows cucumbers, and he'll probably have fresh pickles that he's made. Greg grows all sorts of herbs and greens, and he's going to make kind of a cool salad dressing to go with us, greens and salads.
Yum.
Chinese food, some Thai food. Who knows what those guys are
going to whip
up. Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun because we're all about farm to table and eating hyper local.
That sounds so good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I don't know if I can wait till the 11th.
Well, we are open Friday and Monday.
So tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll be there and come down and check it out. We'll have flyers.
And if I get there before 5:30, you might still have some lau lau.
Earlier.
I'll hold one for you, brother.
Or you can
talk
earlier.
Because, you know, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, it's so, oh no.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, you know, come celebrate the history and future of food and agriculture and farming at Kealia with us. So.
Well, Adam Asquith, farmer and possessor of some of the most astonishingly stained shirts I have ever seen in my life, and I cultivate that myself. I love to wear shirts that show how much I work.
Clean but stained.
Clean but
stained.
Pigmented.
That's right.
It's the mark of the world that it leaves on you as you pass through it.
Yeah, oh, I like that, brother. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on. See you at the market.
I'm so hungry.
Uh-oh.
You know what time it is?
Dinner time!
It's time for What's for Dinner.
Hey.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Hi, Uncle Jonathan. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Nihi. How are you?
I am getting better.
Better?
Yeah.
Better than what?
I had a cold then.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. What happened? Why did you have a cold?
Well, it started the weekend before last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And then My throat was really sore.
But you got better.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it when we're all healthy, and I bet you eating good food.
Yeah.
Probably helped you get better.
Yeah.
Because food is medicine.
Is this the song again?
It is.
But it's a combination.
Now it isn't.
Oh.
There we go.
Can we invite guests, like, talk about it real quick?
We sure can. Yeah, tell all about it.
Okay.
So, What's for Dinner?
Yep.
Is a show that gives you food for thought and something to chew on. Yeah. And how it works is really simple. Everybody loves dinner, right?
Yep.
I know I do. It seems like you love dinner.
I love it.
I know. And so, this is a simple, beautiful show. The phone lines are open. But you can call in right now.
The number is 826-7771.
So before we do the phones, I want to say that this show is brought in partnership with some folks who make donations to the station. And they have this event coming up, which is pretty important. So check this out.
What is it called?
Yeah, it says Kanaka Jams. Let me get this straight here.
Who's going to be the underwriter for our market?
Well, we gotta find one. We gotta send out the kahea. But first, listen to this.
All right.
Kanaka Jams, a benefit for the North Shore Lions Club. Music, art, and entertainment. Sunday, March 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
What?
Prince Albert Park, Princeville. Live music, art auction, fashion show, crafts, and food. All proceeds from the auction go to the Sight is Beautiful art program in our schools. More info at 826-9185. Kanaka Jams.
Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be good, huh?
But today's the 3rd, though.
Yeah, Thursday.
But then why did they say Sunday?
Because it's coming up this weekend, yeah?
Wait, but
should we listen to it again?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to it again. Maybe you didn't get it right.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Kanaka Jams, a benefit for the North Shore Lions Club. Music, art, and entertainment. Sunday, March 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Prince Albert Park, Princeville.
Oh, my
Live
gosh.
Music, art auction, what? Fashion show, crafts, and food. All proceeds from the auction go to the Sight is Beautiful art program in our schools. More info at 826-9185. Kanaka 13th? Jams.
All right, Nihi, guess what?
What?
You rock because there was a mistake and you picked it out, and it's not the 3rd, it's the 13th. Dove, thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Good job.
Not this Sunday, but the next.
Yeah, not this Sunday, but the next. Nihi, you know what?
What?
If you hadn't noticed that, people would have come on the wrong day. So you just saved the day.
I know. I'm like, wait.
Oh, my gosh. That's so great. So what else? Oh, here we go. This is good.
What is it?
This is Pierce Brosnan. This is Pierce Brosnan. This, it is. It's me, KKCR, wishing you a great day.
Yeah, because this show is brought to you in partnership by listeners just like you and those fine, fine people. Check this out. You know, Nihi, not everybody likes Lao Lao.
What?
I know. It's kind of crazy, but not everybody likes Lao Lao. So guess what?
What?
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
But if that's how you feel about Lao Lao, that's good enough for me.
Who did that? What we just did?
That was Uncle Ya Caduce. Yeah, he has a great show on Tuesdays. And his show is so fantastic that he has to share it with like 10 or 12 other people.
What is it called?
It's called The Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show.
I like that.
Have you heard it?
Wait, what time does it?
I think it's like from 1 to 3.
No.
Yeah. No, wait. That's not right. It's from 2 to 4.
No, I've never heard.
All right, hold on a second. I'm going to actually look at the KKCR Kauai Community, Kekane o Kauai Ne, the Sound of Kauai schedule.
Okay.
And it says, Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show with Ya and X-Men, and it is from 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
Yeah, it's right before Felicia does her Kauai Soapbox show.
Soap?
Oh, my God. You're making me so hungry.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So, hey.
Yeah.
What's for dinner?
Okay. What we're having for dinner is teriyaki chicken, brown rice, and bok choy.
Bok choy?
Yep.
So, now, is this like big bok choy or baby bok choy? I like the baby bok choy.
Oh, yeah.
You like the baby bok choy?
Yep.
I think it's sometimes bok choy is a little bitter.
What?
That's you know what they say.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and...
So that's my opinion.
Oh.
Do you think that bok choy is bitter?
I think it's good.
Well, then there you go. What do you think, listener? Give us a call.
808-826-7771.
Yeah, we want to hear what's cooking with you. We want some. We want to know what you've got on the grill for tonight, what you've got cooking for dinner. Because that's what the show is all about for people who love food like me.
And me.
So, what you said watermelons are coming ripe right now. Have you had watermelon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Is they sweet?
Yeah.
Does that kind of have seeds in it?
Yes.
I love the seeds in the watermelon.
You do?
I do. You know why?
Why?
Two reasons. One, you need seeds to plant more watermelons.
Okay.
So that's one good reason why. And then the second reason why is I love to spit them. I know, right? WFD. What's for dinner?
Oh.
So last year during... watermelon season, we made some, it's not, what's it called? It's like you take the watermelon and you put a little honey in it and some salt and then you freeze it. Oh my God, it's so good.
Isn't acai?
It's like a watermelon Slurpee. There's a fancy name for it in French, which I cannot remember.
Oh, great.
I know, but maybe somebody out there listening knows and they can call in.
Okay.
And tell them the number.
The number is 808-826-7771.
The phone lines are open right now, and we would be so pleased to get your call. You know why?
Why?
Because
it's...
KKCR listens to you.
That's right.
If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
And you know another way that
this
you
is
can...
Brosnan.
Uh-oh. Hey, Pierce, get out of here. Pierce,
it is.
Hey,
it's
no.
Me.
Peter,
no.
Quit it.
There we go. I got him. So, but we got a caller. A caller called in because in addition to sending us a postcard or email or taking an online form, you can actually call into the station like this person just did at 826-7771. So, caller, what's for dinner?
Hi, does it count if I didn't cook it myself?
Sure, you can eat it.
Yeah, well, I ate it already, and I just wanted to say that what they cook for dinner at the Healthy Hut is really good.
Oh, what do they have?
So today they had some, like, a squash and had some greens and sliced carrots, like in a yellow, I don't know if it's spaghetti squash, but some kind of yellow squash.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask what kind of squash.
Carrots. And purple cabbage.
Ooh.
Cabbage.
And it was like a, yeah, really yummy casserole.
Purple.
I really love cabbage.
I do too.
Yeah.
You know what
and
kind
then,
of?
And then some red lentil stew, which was really flavored nicely.
Oh, yum. What's this, what kind of spices?
I think it was some kind of curry. It was a little yellow. There were a few chickpeas and a really
chickpeas.
Nice lentil stew.
You like chickpeas, Nahi?
I really love chickpea.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They're so great, especially when they're cooked really well.
Isn't there another name for chickpea?
Garbanzo beans.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Garbanzo beans.
I love that. Yum.
Yum.
Is there more?
And then there's a quinoa. There was a quinoa with
quinoa.
A few veggies chopped up like parsley.
I love quinoa.
I do too.
Yeah, so anyone who, you know, is still hungry and nobody's cooking them dinner, go to the Healthy Hut.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
That's good. That's a great tip.
I'm having bok choy and teriyaki chicken and rice.
Oh, yeah. Can we go to your house if we don't go to the Healthy Hut?
Yeah.
How many people are you going to have teriyaki chicken for? How much bok choy you got?
What?
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, everybody. Bok choy at Nihi's house tonight.
All right, we'll be there.
All right.
Yeah!
Aloha, caller.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So the phone lines are open again, 826-7771. We got about 12 minutes for to get as many phone calls as possible. So if you don't have your this number programmed into your speed dial yet, here's your big chance.
808-826-7771.
So try call right now, and we'll get as many people as possible for what's for dinner tonight. We're going to try and set a record.
Oh, and brown rice.
Oh, brown rice. Oh, I love brown rice.
I missed that.
Oh, I like brown rice. I like brown rice better than white rice.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
It's got more brown in it.
Oh, yeah. Can I read my other talking points after?
Oh, yeah, but we got another caller called in.
All right.
Aloha, caller. Are you on the air? Oh, where?
Colleen.
There we go. Wrong button. Go ahead, caller.
And I'm calling because I know what's for dinner tomorrow night.
Oh. Wow, what?
Kalia Farm pork lau lau.
Pork lau lau.
If I get there early enough.
Yeah, that's right, because last time I was there at 5:30 and it was pow already.
Hi.
Hi, Nihi. You sound so good on the radio.
Thank you. What's your name?
Alfreen.
Alfreen. Aloha,
oh
Alfreen.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you. I've been hearing about this this program for so many times, and I keep forgetting to call in and listen, and it's very cool.
Well, out of the box on every other Thursday is from 4 to 5:30, and then from 5:30 to 6
is what's for dinner?
What's for dinner? I'm so hungry.
So, yeah, spread the word. Every other Thursday, 5:30 to 6, what's for dinner? WFD with Nihi and John J. All right.
Well, I hope I see you guys at Kalia Farm tomorrow.
Okay.
Me too.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
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 So, all right, you said you have some more talking points.
Yeah.
So, all right, first off, what is a talking point?
So,
is it a point that talks?
Hey. No. It's when I explain some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So my first one is eating crockpot chicken.
All right.
So crockpot chicken is you put the chicken in the crockpot.
Okay.
And then you have to put in the broth when it's done.
All right.
And you can put rice or kalo.
What's a crockpot?
It's like a slow cooker.
Ah, okay. Slow cooker. All right.
But It's plugged into the wall.
Okay, so like when do you do this? Do you do this like after breakfast or before lunch? How long does it take?
Like
not like 15 minutes. It's like 3 hours or something, you know?
Yeah.
That's because it's a slow cooker, so it like cooks long and slow.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please continue.
Okay. And then you could put cabbage. And rice.
Brown rice or
brown?
Brown. Okay, good. I like brown rice.
Okay.
You know why?
What?
More brown. I told the same joke twice.
Yeah. Okay. And then you can also put kalo. I know.
What kind of kalo? Like moi?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that moi.
What?
Yeah, I love that moi.
The super moi?
Yeah, it's so good. So ono. It's like purple, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I know. Oh, my God. You know what that just reminded me of?
What?
Evolve.
Dove.
Yeah, Dove is going to come in and evolve in like 15 minutes. Oh, my gosh. So stick around for that. If you can bear to like, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry to evolve. I am, really, honestly.
Was that Dove?
That was Dove right there. He said a Dove walkthrough of the studio.
Hey.
Yeah, I know, right? So, phone line's open.
808-826-7771.
We got just, let's see, I got like 7 more minutes to get as many phone callers in as possible. We want to know what you got cooking, what you got sitting on the grill, what's in your slow cooker, baby. What you got on low? What's for dinner? What's for dinner at your place? Tonight, I don't even know what we're having for dinner. I had some saffron rice with a curry, vegetable curry.
Oh.
That was last night. That was really good. And also, I made a gigantic freaking salad. Yeah, it was like so much. It was more than I could eat, actually. I fell asleep before I ate it. But you know what?
What?
Joanna finished it off for me.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, that's what I told her. So, gosh, is everybody so busy cooking they can't have time to pick up the phone? I can't believe it. What do you think, Nihi?
I think everyone should put their utensils down and pick up the phone.
Yeah, wash your hands first, though, too, yeah?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Nihi, a minute ago, you were reviewing your talking points, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And, but you are blind. So you cannot see.
I read them over at home.
So, but I mean, but in front of you right now, you have a Braille note. Maybe you can describe to the listener what is a Braille note.
Okay. Because
I think that is like magic.
My Braille note is a computer that has refreshable Braille at the bottom.
And explain to people what is Braille.
Braille is bumps, patterns of lines that blind people read.
And so with your fingertips, you run your fingertips over the bumps and you can recognize the different shapes that they make?
Yeah.
And those equal letters. How does that work? Like, what does an A look like?
So an A?
Yeah.
Looks like a dot one.
Uh-huh.
And then a B?
Uh-huh.
Is dots one and two.
Ah, so the different dots, you can, so if you feel just one bump in the corner, then you know it's an A.
Yep.
And two bumps means it's a B.
Yep.
And so on and so for all the letters. Do they have like an okina?
Yes.
They do.
It's dot three.
Dot three. And do they have a macron or a kohaku?
Kohaku.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Kahako.
Kahako. Kalamai.
It's okay.
Thank you for teaching me. I really appreciate when you can teach me stuff.
Yep.
But all these things exist as Braille.
Yep.
That is magic.
I know, right?
And you know what else is magic?
What?
Aloha caller, you're on the air. Thank you so much for calling in to
What's for Dinner?
Hey, me, I'm going to tell you.
What?
What's for dinner?
Oh, good.
It's Auntie Molly. Anake, Monday E, Maki Kelepona.
Okay.
What'd she say? What'd she say?
She's going to tell me what they're having for dinner.
Oh, awesome.
Then she's on the phone. Okay.
And it was Auntie Molly, right?
Yep.
All right, so I think dinner tonight is going to be smoked meat.
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of smoked meat?
Well, it's going to be pua.
Pua? That means pig, yeah?
Yeah.
Piggy boy. And I'm going to cut it up, and I'm going to just put it in the pan, saute it lightly.
That's French.
And then I'm just on my way now to pick up my organic greens from the Wootons in Moloa.
Ooh.
So on a whole is where they live. Oh. So I'm going to pick up. So I think maybe I'm going to have some cut soy.
Ooh, cut
and a little
soy.
Bit curly kale.
Ooh,
oh, my
kale.
God.
And for special spicy flavor, some dandelion.
Oh. Can you make tea from that?
Pardon?
I heard that you can make dandelion tea.
I do, you know, I drink the dandelion tea, but I actually buy it in a box.
So are you you're getting dandelions, or are you going to use it as a spice?
No, the dandelions, my friend grows them.
Oh.
They're very delicious, and they're kind of powerful. They're, you know, strong greens. They're not, they got a kick to them.
They're not sissy greens.
No, I like them a lot because they're a little bitter, but they're very strong, and they're very good for you. They're really dark green.
So bitter good, not bitter bad.
Yeah, bitter good. So I put them in with the other greens that are milder, and it gives them a little more oomph.
So where can you get dandelions? Because I don't think I've ever eaten. Have you ever eaten dandelions, Nihi?
Nope.
You like try? Maybe.
Maybe.
Nihi, you don't sound so P-O-E-O-E about the whole thing.
Well, where can, if for folks like me who are interested to try some dandelions, where can we get them?
All right. Now, I have never seen them sold, even in the health food store, really. But
it could be the new thing.
You could probably get them at a farmer's market.
Okay.
Hey.
I buy it from the Wootons have a farm in Aliomanu, and they also deliver their goods. They sell at the farmer's market on Wednesdays in Kapa'a.
Okay.
But I order right from their house and go pick it up. I tell them what I like, and, oh, it's so fun. I can just buy it right from them. I don't go to the farmer's market.
Wow, you have a direct relationship with the farmer. How cool is
direct
that?
Direct relationship, yeah. You just go right there, and some people like the kind where you order, you tell them you just want a box of food, and they give you what they want to give you.
Whatever's right.
But the Wootons, you can choose what you like, and you can buy as much or little as you want. So that works well for me. I do it like that.
That sounds
awesome.
Which
friend are you going to go to?
What, Sam? What?
Whose house are you going to?
Oh, they're called John and Nandi. That's her name. She's from Malaysia.
Oh.
And their last name is Wooten.
Wooten.
Wooten, right?
Correct.
Like Woo Umi.
Yep.
Yeah, Woo Umi, have you, baby? Woo Umi, it would be. All right, now, Nihi, what are you having for dinner? Do you know?
I'm having teriyaki chicken, brown rice, and bok choy.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah, now that is a full meal right there.
That sounds pretty good.
That is a full meal.
Can I come over for dinner?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like to go to your house, girl. You have that nice thing.
Wow.
If I get it together, I might make some quinoa, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go that route. But that's always nice to have a little grain on the side.
Wow.
Yeah. How's school, Nihi?
It's doing good.
Doing good?
School is doing good.
I'm doing good, too.
Excellent. I just was at your beautiful school yesterday.
Oh.
I had so much fun. It was really nice.
What school is this?
Kavaikini.
It's the Kavaikini.
Oh, I see you're wearing a shirt, Kavaikini shirt.
Yeah, she goes to that fabulous school with the Olelo Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah, ask one last question before I say goodbye.
Okay, because
Yeah.
Did you go to the Hanakeaka called Laiei Kawai?
Yep.
All right. Can you give me some feedback? Like, how did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it because there's lots of speaking Hawaiian in the play.
Yeah. And did you hear some oli too?
Yep.
Yeah. I heard the oli was very, very beautiful.
Who did the oli?
Many different people, but I think the person who trained the chanters, I believe, was mainly Snowbird Bento. She's a kumuhula from Oahu, and she's very, very gifted and talented. And I got to hear the chanters when they were still rehearsing, and they already were very powerful. So I'm sure by the time they got to performance, it was quite exquisite and very full of mana and contributed to the play in a very major way. Yeah. Well, listen, kids, I'm going to let you finish up, and I'm entering into the bad zone. I'm driving, and when you get to this part of the place, you cut out anyway.
All right. Well, stay out of the bad zone. Stay safe.
You guys have fun. Enjoy.
Drive safe and make it home for dinner. That's the most important thing.
Right. You guys enjoy. I love your show. Thank you for doing this great show.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, aloha mai.
Aloha. Ahui ho.
We ho.
So, Nihi.
Yep.
We're coming to the end here.
Wait, but can we do the guests?
Oh, what would the guest be? Because we got to make it quick.
Ron Wiley.
Oh, yeah, Ron Wiley. Oh, yeah, okay. So say what you want to say.
So I'm very excited to meet Ron Wiley for the next show.
Yeah, so, okay, so Ron Wiley, if you're listening out there, Nihi really wants to meet you.
So bad.
Yeah, and if you're not Ron Wiley listening right now, but you know Ron Wiley, call Ron Wiley and tell him that Nihi wants to meet him. She would love for Ron Wiley to be a guest on the show, What's for Dinner? Because you know what?
What?
I bet you Ron Wiley likes dinner. I mean, who doesn't love dinner?
I don't know.
So thanks so much, everybody. And thanks so much for calling in and sharing what you got on the grill. Nihi, it's always such a pleasure for you to be in here.
Wait, but I didn't get to share the rest.
Oh, what's the rest?
Okay, number 3 is making bread.
Oh, we're going to have to save that for another time.
I'll save the rest for the next time.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, aloha.
Aloha.
Ahui ho.
Ahui ho.
And what's the last one?
Malama pona.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Stick around for Evolve with Dove. It's coming up right next, right after a little bit of Paula Fuga. Because I know how much you love Paula Fuga. And the county council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of February 29th. There will be a council committee meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd. There will also be a special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd, and it will start at 8:30. Subject of the special meeting is a council manager form of government workshop. The meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights from the meeting agendas. For the committee meeting, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the County Engineer and Deputy County Engineer to discuss the circumstances relating to the Management Advisory Report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current findings and recommendations 2015-003, and that's improved monitoring and delinquent receivable accounts. Council Chair Raposo requests the Acting County Engineer provide a briefing and status update on the Hanapepe Bridge. This committee also has bills 2016, 12, and 13 on their agenda, and they relate to the plumbing and electrical codes and were deferred from February 17th. The Public Safety Committee has a request from the prosecuting attorney for approval to spend federal funds in the amount of $210,716 for the Kauai Victim of Crime Act expansion project for the period July 1, 2016 through June 30, 2017. And this was referred on February 24th. Council Chair Raposo requests the fire chief provide a briefing on the recent rescues that took place in Kalalau Valley and the reasons as to why the county is not charging for the recovery of rescue expenses as outlined in Ordinance Number 991. The Planning Committee has a request from Council Chair Raposo for agenda time for the Coco Palms Hui LLC to provide a status report regarding their progress to rebuild the former Coco Palms Hotel. The Budget and Finance Committee has communications from the Salary Commission, transmitting for Council information the Salary Commission's Resolution Number 2016-01 relating to the salaries of certain officers and employees of the county for the fiscal year 2016 through 2017. This was adopted by the Salary Commission at its February 5th meeting. This is Salary Commission Resolution Number 2016-1. Also on their agenda is Bill Number 2610 for an ordinance to establish a general excise and use tax surcharge for the County of Kauai, and this was deferred from February 3rd. There will be a non-public executive session for the Office of the County Attorney to brief the Council relating to the Management Advisory Report for fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current findings and recommendations 2015-003 improve monitoring of delinquent receivable accounts and related matters. For the special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd at 8:30 a.m., their agenda is the council manager form of government workshop. It will be used to discuss revisions to the county charter that would result in a new county charter changing the government structure of the county of Kauai from the current system to a county manager form of county government. Visit the county's website for more information. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.